Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation as found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. Today, as we hear your word, we receive the revelation that is found in the written word. Our eyes. I enlighten them all to walk in the light of your word every day of our lives in this year of supernatural rain. We'll see and walk in it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're looking at what I titled supernatural rain. That's what we've been teaching in the course of the year. That is our theme for the year. Hallelujah. Supernatural rain. So we got to ask ourselves, what is supernatural rain? What is supernatural rain? Right? So let's get into a few things we've been looking at since last week. Matthew 28. You know, we sang this morning, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be that vessel you walk through. Hallelujah. Amen. We sang that song, right? Right? Say, use me, Lord, use me, Lord. Now, Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go in therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Mark 16, from verse 16, Mark 16. He says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He said, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and fell at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. You know, I've seen some people who say, don't read Mark 16. Mark 16 is blah, 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 blah. Well, everything we have in Mark 16, you find it in the book of Acts. So, the book of Acts validates Mark 16. Right? Hallelujah. Man, watch what Jesus said. He says, go into all the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Preach the gospel to every creature. Glory to God. I told you that a dear man of God, Pastor Christian Akilome, once said, he said, that is going into every man's world. Hallelujah. You find yourself in every man's world. Jesus has sent us to every man's world. Glory to God. Look at Luke 24, verses 46. It says, Luke 24, 46, it says, and he said to them, talk of this written, and thought it behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins were preached in his name amongst all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You see that? It says repentance and remission of sins were preached in his name amongst all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So you find emphasis on preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you find it as instructions in scripture. Jesus gave them instructions. So the life of the Christian is a life of instruction. I have this here. The life of a Christian is a life of instruction. The life of a Christian is a life of instruction. Responsible Christianity is living with instruction. Responsible Christianity is living with instruction. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. That's responsible Christianity. So when a believer doesn't walk with instruction, he or she is living an irresponsible, careless life. When a believer doesn't walk with instruction, he or she is living an irresponsible, careless life. It's a careless life when you don't live with instruction. It's irresponsible and it's careless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation is full of instructions about God's will, God's plan and God's purpose for the earth. Genesis to Revelation is full of God's will, plan and purpose for the earth. So Jesus also will give the same instructions to win souls. You see that? So, what is God's task in the earth? So winning. So he gave the same instruction to Jesus. Did I say Jesus? Jesus gave the same instruction to his disciples. So sorry about the first one. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Jesus gave the same instruction to his disciples. And by extension to us. Hallelujah. If announcing the gospel is not important, if talking about the gospel is not important, then Jesus wouldn't have asked his disciples out in Matthew 10. He told them to go out to preach. He dedicated Matthew 10 from verses 1 into verses 15. Hallelujah. Matthew 10, 1. Let's quickly get to Matthew 10. Hallelujah. If it wasn't important, it wasn't part of the Christian life, the believer's life, he wouldn't send them out. He said, and when he had called unto him the 12, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now, he mentioned the name. Now, look at what he said. And this 12 is a sign. Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he asked them to go preach. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10. It's after these things, the Lord Jesus appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before the face of every city and every place where himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is good, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatever house you enter, say, peace be unto this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. Did you see that? He sent them forth to preach. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, in the preaching, he told them to heal the sick, right? Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. If preaching wasn't important, Jesus would send them to preach. Hallelujah. Okay with me. If preaching wasn't important, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 3. Quickly, Matthew chapter 3, verse 23. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses, and all manner of diseases among the people. You see that? If preaching wasn't important, Jesus would be found preaching, he would send his disciples to go preach. Hallelujah. So therefore, preaching is important. Hallelujah. That was preached, who said it to announce. So announcing the gospel is important. It's important. In Acts 1 verse 8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost part of the earth. Hope you're following me. Say, you will be witnesses unto me. You will be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. So when you get to the book of Acts, having heard this instruction given by Jesus to his disciples, so when you get to the book of Acts, one of the many acts or one of the activities you will find among the believers after prayer will be preaching. One of the activities you will find among the believers after prayer will be preaching. In Acts 2, the Bible says, Peter standing up said, right? These are not drunken as they spoke, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet John. Now, when he said that, he ministered to them, and 3,000 souls were saved. He preached. 3,000 people were saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. in Acts 3, after the healing at the gate called Beautiful, many people were gathered. Hallelujah. And Peter also began to preach. Look at Acts 4 verse 1. Let's see the effect of that preaching. Acts 4. Quickly, Acts 4 verse 1. And as they said these things, and as they said unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Pharisees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Did you see that? They preached. They preached all through the book of Acts 3. They were preaching. Hallelujah. Hope that will leave. In Acts 4, that's in Acts 4, verse 31. It says, and when they are prayed, the place was taken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So that means they were found preaching again. What is the effect? Acts 5, 11 into 12. And great fear came upon all the church that was, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard this thing. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Amen. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's spouse or porch. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. In Acts 6, verses 4, it says, look at what Peter said. He said, well, this is when they had issues as regards serving of tables. But Peter said in verse 4, he said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the world. That same Acts 2, in verse 7, after they've laid hands on the deacons, the Bible said the word of the God, or the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Isn't that? So how did they multiply? They went out to preach. So you find our activity of preaching the gospel in Acts 7. Almost every chapter in Acts 7, we find Stephen, preached about Jesus. In Acts 8, Philip went to Samaria and got the whole city. Acts 8, look at verses 5. Hallelujah. Acts 8, 5. It says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people who won accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. You will discover that they preached in every chapter you find that they were preaching the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 10. We'll find Peter in the house of Cornelius preached, and the whole household was saved. Hallelujah. So you can go on and on and on. It's an instruction in scripture to preach the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So find that instruction in scripture to preach the word. And that preaching there, I told you, it will come from daily interaction. That's the word to preach, keruto. It comes from normal conversation. Hallelujah. Preaching will come from normal conversation. When you have a regular kind of conversation. Hope you are with me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26. Quickly. From verse 24. Come on, deal with this man. Acts 26, from verse 24. I want to see something here. Now this was Paul before Festus and before Agrippa. Amen. Amen. Now, and while Paul was speaking, if you read from verse 1, Paul was doing a defense. Why this thing? So, Paul was actually having a defense of the gospel committed to him. Now, in verse 24, and when he talked to Paul himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak for the word of truth and stop at it. Says, for the king knoweth this thing, before whom also I speak freely. I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from me, for these things was not done in a corner. Now, pay attention to what Agrippa said in verse 27. The king Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? That's what he said to him. He asked him, when he was on the stage, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? Is it believest thou the scripture? Right? Say, believest thou the prophet? That is, you believe all this thing. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. This is that, say, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. So that means the preaching of the word will involve persuasion. He must be persuasive. Amen. Persuasive. It's persuasion. Hallelujah. So the preaching of the word will involve persuasion. Glory to God. But today, what do we find? We find rather than people obeying God, or rather than people obeying and following scriptural instructions, they are busy arguing online. Checking who and who is right doctrinally. I said this, and I posted it yesterday. I said, one of the deceptions of the devil in today's age, today's day and world, is to make you think arguing who is right or wrong online. Bantering who is preaching right or who is not preaching right. Right? Is a deception. People think they are doing the work. That is not the work. Satan has always been deceptive. So it makes you feel, oh, I just finished. No, this is wrong. The Bible says that is not still preaching. Amen? Preaching involves you going into other man's world to persuade them. You know how you persuade someone to buy clothes off? Amen. They look at your teeth. Your teeth is facing Sahara Desert. You need clothes off to bring it back. Did you see that? Amen. Look at you. How you persuade people. Hallelujah. That's how you persuade men concerning the gospel. From regular conversation. Remember last week, I told you, it comes from regular conversation. You have in conversation about things, then you have opportunities to talk about the gospel. Amen. Never joke with it. Never joke with it. Hallelujah. Never joke with it. Always look out for the opportunity to shape in the world. To talk about the gospel. So that means, that's why I said you must always have our same prayers, right? Pray always, pray in tongues always. Because you don't necessarily have to wait until you're going out for evangelism. You can on it should happen in your regular day. Every regular day you talk to people about Jesus. Not argue about Jesus. You talk to them about Jesus. Hope you are with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in the last 1 week, how many souls did you meet? From January 1 to today, it's a reminder to you. How many souls have you won? What's your thing? Are you being irresponsible? You see, there is no excuse that is sufficient for why you're not talking about Jesus. As long as you could open your mouth, you had conversations with people, you should have conversations about Jesus. Hope you're with me. As long as you have conversation in the course of the week with people, you must have conversation about Jesus. Amen. 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 So ask yourself, how many people did you win in the past week? Ask yourself. Or are you just being irresponsible? Say, no, my work didn't give me time. It's within your office space. Within your office. How many people did you have conversation with about the gospel? About Jesus? Learn to be around that work. I was listening to a message I ministered last year, this morning, and I listened to what I said to her. Is the teaching about routine, right? Dealing with boredom. I said, the life of the Christian is a life of routine. The moment you begin to stop it, the moment you don't have conversations about Jesus every day, you begin to have conversations about other things. So make it a routine to talk about Jesus every day, to preach about Jesus every day, to win souls every day, have conversations about Jesus every day. What are you hearing me? Have conversations about Jesus. As long as you meet people every day, talk about Jesus every day, win souls every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that question again, how many souls have you won this year? It's 11 days gone. From 365 days, so we have 354 days left. Or let's say 10 days, today's 11th day. So we have 365 days left in the year. What are you using it for? What are you using it for? Hallelujah. So you want to be a veteran who walks through? You have to be a veteran who walks through. Then you must have conversation about him every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we are looking at supernatural rain, right? Right? Matthew 1:1. It says the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Amen. So, we said the writers of the New Testament books, as we call it, always gives us, or gives to us the background of what they were writing. Always wanting us to read from where they are writing from. Always wanting us to read from where they are writing from. So Matthew opens up his synoptic account by saying the book of the generations. That word generations is where you have the Greek word Genesis. Genesis. The book of the Genesis. So it takes your mind again to Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis. Look at Mark. Mark 1. Mark also shows us how to approach his writing. In Mark 1, verse 1, it says the beginning. Beginning. Arche, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Is that word arche, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now in verse 2, it says, as it is written in the prophet. Now he goes to Malachi. Behold, right? Behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Verse 3 now says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That is Isaiah. Making you see how to read the synoptic account, how to read their writing, is to read what they are writing backwards. So you must learn to do that in your study. Amen. Read backwards. Amen. You read backwards. John will use the same word alche. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen. So what is John doing? John goes back again to the Genesis and says Jesus is the Genesis personality. Jesus is the Exodus personality. Jesus is the Numbers and the Deuteronomy personality. Jesus is the personality of the Old Testament book. So we said, that theology, I said this, that theology that tries to separate Jesus from the Old Testament book is not a theology that is born from God. Amen. Because the theology of the written word identifies Jesus both in the Old Testament book and in the New Testament book as God of the scripture, the God of Israel who became a man. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. Glory to God. So there's always a background to that. There's a background. So they want you to get back to the background. So read where you were writing from. I will also pause to say this. When the writers of the New Testament were writing, they were not writing thinking that their writings will be added to scripture. Amen. But what they had is called scripture. Genesis down to Malachi, that was scripture. Amen. But with God's wisdom, right, He inspired men to bring in all those writings together and then we'll have it holistically. So that should also debunk when people say the New Testament book was explained in the Old Testament. Anything you don't find in the New Testament book was never written for you to understand or for you to have it in the Old Testament book. That's rubbish. Amen. Because if you look at how the New Testament writers wrote, they wrote in such a way for you to see that they were handling issues within their world. Amen. So handling those issues within their world, writing to specific people, dealing with specific issues, they will actually have to pick out those, they'll have to pick it out from the Old Testament book and cite from what they have as scripture within the Old Testament book. So they might not necessarily quote everything. Hope you are with me. Amen. They might not necessarily quote everything within the Old Testament book, but yet they validated the 39 books. Amen. So someone said, anything you don't find in the New Testament book, whenever written for you to have in the Old Testament book. That's the wrong way to read. Hallelujah. Hope you understand me. Rather, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. It says there, it says, and whatsoever things were written aforetime. So does it include everything? Does it include everything? He said, whatever thing were written aforetime, were written for our learning. Learning, there is the word didaskalia. Teaching. We're written for our teaching, our learning. So, whatever thing were written aforetime, aforetime there was referring to the whole scripture. We see that. That we show the patience and comfort of the scripture by half hope. Comfort of the scripture. So that means, the scriptures, everything written in the scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi, were written for our learning. You know that? So you don't cherry pick it. Don't be hearing me. You don't do what? You don't cherry pick it. You read everything. Everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He reads everything. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for teaching, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Old Testament is not about old things that are going away. But they are about things that are valued to today, or that are valued to today. The Old Testament is about God's oracle that is valid to today. Come with me. Valid to when? To today. They are not about old things that are going to come to an end. No, they are still valid in our world today. Hallelujah. So, that's it. It means we would have to learn from, we have to learn from the Old Testament book. Hallelujah. Rather, I put it like this. Everything we find within the New Testament book will have its origin where? In the Old Testament book. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. We therefore said, the Bible opens up in a supernatural world. Did we say that? We said that last week. The Bible opens up in a supernatural world. Hallelujah. Glory to God, supernatural world. Heaven and the earth. Heaven and the earth. We saw that last week. Hallelujah. Supernatural world. So, verses 2. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Is that supernatural? Is that supernatural? Thank you. So we said the Bible itself is a supernatural book. The Bible itself is a supernatural book that is written in natural languages. So that means we can say supernatural things were explained with natural language, natural verbiage. That's crucial. Amen. Supernatural things explained with natural language. And they don't be like me one time. They asked me years back, I was just in GS1. And so, I was in Sunday school, and I was asked, who can define hallelujah? And I raised my hand up. I said, what is hallelujah? I said, hallelujah is an heavenly language. There's nothing called heavenly language in scripture. Or there's nothing called heavenly vocabulary. The only heavenly language you have is what? Tongues. Do you see that? Over me. Glory to God. There's nothing called heavenly language. They have to write a disciple. The word disciple is heavenly. He is not heavenly. Amen. So it's a natural. So natural things, natural words were used to describe the supernatural. So Moses will write heaven and earth, and was describing the supernatural world. Amen. Okay, with me. So we looked at some of those things last week. Some of those things that I wouldn't have to go back to again today. But expect that you read them. Amen. So he said we saw that the darkness will be what? The darkness of the supernatural darkness, right? The darkness of the supernatural darkness, the light of the supernatural light. We saw all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We also saw that when here in Genesis 1, when here the sun, moon, and star. Sun, moon, and star. Don't think it is sun, physical sun that you see. No. The physical sun, moon, and star, Moses was using it to explain supernatural things. I said we'll also see that when we talk about when we get to school of the spirit by next month or before next month. Even I hope it won't crash into CRC because it's gonna be long. Longer than the last one we have. Hallelujah. No wonder why they've not uploaded that thing. Please, I need it after this. You saw my message, right? Amen. Please. Hallelujah. Let's close 2024 and 2025. How can message of 2024 not be out? Amen. Glory to God. Let's have those things out today. Glory to God. So that the sun, moon, and stars refers to supernatural beings. You saw it. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 4. Let's quickly look at that again. Deuteronomy 4. But sun, no. Moses was described when Moses said God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, right? Was not referring to physical sun. No, it was supernatural things. Amen. Amen. The same way to Genesis chapter 3, he described the serpent as supernatural being. Hallelujah. I read Deuteronomy 4. I'll read from verse 14. It says, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye may do them in the land where thou goest to possess it. Are you there? He says, take ye therefore good heed to yourself, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Let ye corrupt yourself and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that filtered in the air. The moment you begin to Okay, I know I didn't say this during GPLR because I didn't speak about Catholicism. But the moment you begin to describe God with a figure, any kind of figure, is idol worship. And then you didn't see anything easy. When you begin to put God in a figure, amen, it's idol worship, power. No, you can't put God in such figure. Even when you worship Him, you don't see Him on any chair. It's idol worship. You are worshiping God and then in your mind you are seeing Him on the chair, on the right, things on the right, things on the left. It's idol worship. You are idolizing something in your mind. Amen. Amen. Some people even have Salvador as Jesus in their mind. Amen. You know Salvador? Salvador is any being that has long hair. Amen. You are picturing Jesus in your mind. How? They don't like him. God doesn't want you to liken him to anything. Not worship him, he's God. But let me use for something to hold him. No. Don't hold him to anything. Amen. They didn't see any similarity of anything. So don't put him in any box. Hallelujah. That's God. He has told you. So why are you doing it? Okay, that's a thing. Blessed of anything that creepeth on the ground. Blessed of any fish that is in the water below the earth. Now look at verse 19. Let's read verse 19 together. One, two, go. Drop thy eyes unto heaven. And when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God has divided unto all the nations under the whole earth. Is that? He calls the sun, moon, and stars, he calls them what? The host of heaven. Can you see that? Hallelujah. The host of heaven. Don't worry. We will have to look at that when we get to school of the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. That will be volume 2. I know that. Amen. Look at chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. This 7 now. No. 17. 17, sorry. This is not 7. 17. Verse 2, if they be found amongst you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant. Verse 3, want to go? Serve other gods, and worship them, either the sun or moon, or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. Did you see that? You see that? He calls it God. He called the God what? Sun, moon, or the host of heaven. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the host of heaven, right? The sun, moon, and stars were used to describe supernatural beings. Psalms chapter 8. They also call in Job called them the sons of God, but we're not looking at that today. When we get to school of the spirit, we should see that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Psalms 8, verses 3. You see, when I consider thy heaven, the works of thy finger, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. You see that? Amen. The moon and the stars. We're talking about supernatural beings. So that means in Genesis, watch it now. Man was created last. Right? So that means, I love what E.W. Kenyon said, it means everything that was created before man was created for man. So what was created in Genesis 2? The sun, moon, and stars. Meaning what was created, God created supernatural beings for man.
Can you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, remember how you see. So, remember we said he gave over the nations to what? The sun, moon, and stars. And somebody asked that question. Why would God give it over to them? During our question and answers. He said, why would God give it over to them? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 7 says, remember the days of old. Consider ye the years of many generations. Ask their fathers, and they will show thee their elders, and they will tell thee. So when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, he separated the sons of Adam and set bounds according to the numbers of the children of Israel. That's what you have in your scripture. Children of Israel. Not only children of Israel there, but Israel was not there in Genesis 11. Every scholar knows that was referring to Genesis 11 and there was no Israel. Amen. It's actually according to the numbers of the children of God, sons of God. And when it talks about sons of God, it was referring to what? Supernatural beings. So God divided the nations to supernatural beings. Amen. Amen. But what happened? I told us during that session that men began to worship supernatural beings. Did you see that? Man in his folly began to worship supernatural beings. And those supernatural beings began to collect the worship of what? Man. So that is idol worship. You know that? Idol worship. So what did God do? He then called forth Abraham. You see that? So when he called forth Abraham, Israel was not yet a nation. But every other nation were under supernatural. So Abraham, if you watch scripture, Abraham came from idol worship. He called him from his father's land, or from his father's house, from Haran, from idol. He called him out. Now, every other nation, so when you hear only Israel was not apportioned to supernatural beings, was because when supernatural beings took over, right, supervision of mankind, of the nation, Israel was not yet a nation. Is that? So God became the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. So I think that would do a big justice to the person that asked me that question. Glory to God. So we'll continue. Little by little. Right? I told you, little by little, you get to understand this one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we also saw that water too is used to describe the supernatural. Did you say that? Used to describe the supernatural, not all the time, but sometimes. Genesis or Habakkuk 2:14. Habakkuk 2:14. Says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his will as the waters cover the sea. Is that so? The earth shall be full with the knowledge of his glory. Rather. So his glory is used to describe water. This is that. And then seas is used to describe nations. Watch it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis 2:8. Genesis 2:8. Quickly with me. So the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made the grove tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden. Now I showed you that word, went downward, that's what it means, to water the garden. And from hence it parted and came into forehead. Did you see that? So, it spoke about a river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we saw that too. Nations. Right? God is sending forth his waters into the nations. Glory to God. His waters, his glory. That expression, the expression of the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth, is expressed in Genesis 2:8-10.
Hope you're with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, we said the rain will be supernatural. When God talks about rain, you must see from a supernatural context. Supernatural. In Genesis 2:5, it says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and not a man to till the ground. Now watch it. Genesis 2 is already God's day, right? Genesis 2 is God's day. Is that not it? They have not caused it to rain. And there was not a man to till the ground. So we say the rain there will be supernatural. It's not, don't expect to see physical rain when God says rain. It will rain. Amen. The physical rain will be a sign of what God is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let me take you back to their world. In their world, they had a nomenclature of saying what is called early and latter rain. Because they were agrarian civilization, there's something called the early rain. The early rain is for germination. The latter rain is, so every tree, every crop must receive an early rain that will cause it to germinate. This is that, or it's called a formal rain. It was just a nomenclature within their world. Where is Sister Aya? Sister Aya, am I right? Am I right? Early rain. You know what I'm asking? No, you're not yet. You are the one from Makumba. You tell me you are from Makumba now. So when I'm asking, I know what I'm asking. It doesn't matter. It's a school of agriculture. So everybody from that school in my head are farmers. You are from there too. So I can ask you. You are an English farmer. Amen. Glory to God. Oh my God. That is how everybody from Novena, I think everybody from that goes to Novena is serving a snake god. It's not a joke. When I see that, that's what I think. That's what I think. Amen. When I hear anybody that went to Abani, do like this, just all the issues. Opa. Just in my head. Amen. Abani, Opa. Opa and Pepsi. Amen. Amen. Pray again. No, Lord, allow them go. I just feel those people are cheaper drivers. Yeah, Lord, they need to drive cheaper. Amen. Huh? In lorry. It's not that lorry inside. So I think they all drive cheaper. Amen. But I think the most intelligent set of folks are those from here and there. Huh? They are the most intelligent folks in the earth. Huh? You can argue with yourself. So that's just it. Anyway, just don't mind me, I'm just joking. Hallelujah. So, we had an early rain. Oh, I forgot to mention last week. You are the ones that stoned the prophets of God. They stoned the prophets of God. You know, when Jesus said, when you... Let's go ahead. Amen. Let's just go ahead. Amen. Amen. I didn't say anything, no. Glory to God. Okay, let's come back. So, when the early rain, so every crop must receive early rain for it to germinate, for it to grow. Do you see that? For it to come up. Then, you will only have one early rain. And you can have 1 million latter rain. You can't count the amount of latter rain you should have. You can have. Hallelujah. Which is the latter rain. Why it's called latter rain? It's called subsequent rain. Okay, for the subsequent rain. What we are following is subsequent rain. The first one is for germination. That is what is called the former or the early rain. They have subsequent rain. Hallelujah. Amen. So, latter rain is for rapture. Your name is powerful. Amen. Amen. So, let's get back. Hallelujah. Okay, something that I also forgot to mention is, it's not like there's a rain. When rain is falling, you now put, it now have an header. Early rain. Early rain is coming. No. It's the same rain. Right? While crop A is receiving it as early rain, crop B is receiving it as latter rain. Because crop A was just planted today. So it needs it as early rain. Crop B is latter rain. Hallelujah. So that means the rain is God's rain. Hallelujah. That will now become early and latter rain in the earth. So it is, so God's rain is rain that brings forth other rain. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So he now said there was no man. So I just have to explain that nomenclature because you will see that we get to read. So you don't ask those questions. Hallelujah. Amen. So he now says in Genesis 2:5, he now says there was no man to till the ground. So that means man has an involvement in God's reign. Man's role is important. I said there was no man to till. Now the word till there is the word abad. Abad. Used for a priestly work. Abad. To till the ground. Abad. The work of the priest. Hallelujah. So that means, for God's reign to happen, man's involvement is there. So is it early rain, both the early and the latter rain? Man has got a work to do. Man has got something to do. Has to put something in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are seeing it. Say there was no man to till the ground. That was why there was no rain. There was no man to till the ground. That was why there was no rain. When he said there was no man to till the ground, he's not saying there's no man in the earth. He's saying there is no man to do the priestly work. That's what he's trying to say. Amen. Priestly ministry. Priestly ministry. So you will find out what abad again used for Adam. When Adam was now planted, when Adam was now put in God's Eden, in God's garden, that would say he put man whom he has formed, Genesis chapter 2, verse 13, to what? To dress and to keep it. To dress them. The word dress where you have the word abad. To dress and to keep. Abad and Shema. The work of a priest. Hallelujah. So, can we say Adam was making God's reign to happen? Or Adam was supposed to make God's reign to happen? Did you see that? Hope you can see. Hope you can see. Amen. Amen. So, God's reign will happen with man's involvement. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when God talks about this rain, it will be supernatural. So look at something else. Before we get to, then open to Zechariah 10. Now look at something else. He says, there was no, Genesis 2, verse 5. Then the earth before the crops began to grow, before anything began to happen, he said there was not rain. That means God's rain is for God's will. Amen. God's reign is for God's will. Remember I told you, if you miss Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you miss the foundation of Bible. If you miss what is in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, that is the foundation of Scripture. So imagine you are now reading this thing as archaeological fact, or trying to read it to check whether science is right or wrong. You have missed Scripture totally. So what we're talking about is not science here. What we're talking about is God's will in the earth. That there was no man to kill the earth. No man to stand in the stead of a priest. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. And we're talking about his will. That they needed to be his reign and man's involvement is important. So God's way is towards God's will and man's involvement is important. Hallelujah. Put it like this. Man's priestly involvement is important. Hallelujah. Zechariah 10. Wait for me. Let me get to Zechariah 10. Okay.
Okay. Are you there? Proverbs 1. It says, let's read together, want to go. Come on. Let's just want to go. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain, so everyone grass in the field. It says, ask ye rain in the time of latter rain. Hallelujah. Who is ye? Who is ye? The Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain, so everyone grass in the field. Did you see that? Everyone grass in the field. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's God that gives rain. It's God that gives rain. But the Lord will make showers of rain. It's a Deuteronomy fact. The Lord gives rain. It's a Deuteronomy fact. Deuteronomy 11, quickly. Deuteronomy 11. Remember in Genesis 2, who has not caused it to rain? God has not caused it to rain. Did you see that? So it's God that gives rain. Deuteronomy 11, quickly. Verse 11, it said, the land where ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys that drinketh waters of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. That the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, and I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. The first rain and the latter rain. Can you see? Can you see? That thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I'll send grass in thy field for the cattle. For thy cattle. And thou mayest eat and be full. So, who gives the rain? God gives. Hallelujah. Who gives the rain? God gives the rain. And it will be for what? Increase. Did you see that? It will be for what? Increase. Harvest. Increase. Harvest. 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 Now, take note of something we'll see. The rain is a land pack. In the land. Did you see that? In thy land. In due season. In thy land. In due season. So, it's a land pack. We're coming there. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 12. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Quickly. Verse 12. It says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven to give. Now, when anyone heaven there, the heaven will be supernatural, right? So it's talking about supernatural rain here, right? So the heaven to give the rain unto thy land. What is the land? In his season, and to bless all the works of thy hand, that thou shalt lend unto thy nation, unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Do you see that? Do you see that? It's God that gives rain, and it's supernatural rain. Leviticus 26, verse 4. Leviticus 26, verse 4. Hallelujah. Are you there? He says, then I will give you rain in due season. Verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Right? He says, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. And your treasure shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach also the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. Did you see that? So it's a land pack. And it's a what? Harvest that brings forward what? Seed. Watch it. So that means he's saying in that vein, they will also have early rain. See that? Is in that rain will bring forth the seed time. That means the rain that brings forth rain. Hallelujah. And it's a land fast. It's a land fast. Hallelujah. Is it similar to Genesis 2? Where it says, in the Lord's day. Is that in the Lord's day, in the land? Is it making sense? In the Lord's day, that is the land, that is the spirit. Hallelujah. What shall we receive? What shall we receive? Rain. Hallelujah. We shall receive what? Rain. Rain, rain, rain. Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5, 24. 24. I mean, it says, let us say day in your heart. Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us appointed weeks of the harvest. So the rain is for harvest. So when you're appointed weeks. Come on, who has been around in church? What does it mean here? Appointed weeks. What is he talking about? Let me see who is in church. Who's in church? When you're appointed weeks, what is he talking about? Appointed weeks. What is he talking about? No. Appointed weeks. What is he talking about? I taught you. Come on. Weeks is what? Come on. No. No. Weeks is talking about the feast of weeks. Which is what? Pentecost. Shouldn't forget that. Talk to that. Amen. Pentecost. Feast of weeks. Don't forget it. And some messages you shouldn't forget. You should always listen to them again. Amen. If not for, if for anything, listen to them again. Amen. Amen. I taught you that into CNC last year. From tongues yesterday, today and forever. That was 23 messages. Into 24. I kept teaching. So don't forget it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So here, you have weeks of harvest is a land narrative. And you're talking about 7 weeks there, which is 49 days. The 50 days is Pentecost. I told you. Amen. That is, we're going to get there next week, and that's how we round up. When you get to Acts 2, is that a fulfillment of Jeremiah's word? Did you see that? Is that a fulfillment of Jeremiah's word? Did you see that? Come on, are you not seeing it? So Acts 2, Pentecost, is Jeremiah's fulfillment. What Jeremiah has said. So, but it's Joel that he mentioned. Well, he started from Joel, but Jeremiah also spoke about it. Because Joel was reading from previous prophets. Hope you're following me. We'll get to Joel soon. You see that what Joel also wrote about Acts 2 experience. Not that they saw Acts 2, but they were writing. Right? Right? But today we can say what he wrote about Acts 2. Am I safe to say that? So the part of what you said, what he wrote about Acts 2. Because we've seen Acts 2 already. Amen. Do you understand this? So what he was writing, you also see he spoke about that thought or that meeting, that Pentecost, he spoke about it as rain. He spoke about it as rain. Hallelujah. As rain. So the appointed week for the harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So who gives the rain again? Can you see? He gives both the former and the latter rain in season and reserves unto all the appointed weeks of the harvest. Hallelujah. Pentecost. Right? So the rain brings forth the harvest. So can we say the rain is the rain of Pentecost? Right? Right? Now, is Pentecost a day?
I also said this during those teachings. Is Pentecost a day in the year? Or a Kairos in the Chronos? Which one? Is a Kairos in the Chronos? It's not a specific day. It's just like saying Sabbath is a day, Sunday or Saturday. People are saying again about it tomorrow. It's Saturday, it's Sunday. No! Sabbath is not a particular day. Sabbath is the Lord's day. And every day is inside the Lord's day. Chicken, huh? Amen. No stress. So, Sabbath is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. January, February, March, April, June, July, down to December. It's Sabbath day. It's the Lord's day. Hallelujah. So, the same way too, Pentecost is not a particular day. It was a particular day under the feast, but the feast is already been fulfilled. Hallelujah. Making us see that Pentecost is every day. Hallelujah. It's not a particular day. You can have your Pentecost every day. Okay. I'm already getting to the end of my teaching, but next week we'll get to see all this in detail. Holistically. Hallelujah. Hosea. Oh, Hosea, Pastor, why is he calling Hosea? He's in the scriptures now. And they shouldn't share the peak. Abi, they read everything. Hosea. Chapter 6. You don't know where Hosea is in your Bible. Could you go on the table of contents? 1 verse 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 1 verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath turned and he will heal us. He has sleeping and he will bind us up. After 2 days, we will revive us. In the 3rd day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. You know, I was telling someone something last year. And I think I also mentioned it in church. I said, Jesus rising on the 3rd day was scriptural. Amen. So I said, the scripture only in Jonah. No. Even Jonah has an undertone in Moses. 3 days. Wait for the answer. I think I'm going to share that with us. Why 3 days? Why was it on the 3rd day? Why not on the 7th day? Why did he just die and wake up? Why was it take 3 days? You know, we've been answering those questions, right? Did you remember we've been answering those questions in CRC? We started last year or last 2 years. I think it was last year. We don't answer some questions. Like I remember years back, I had to answer one question like that. Did Jesus die on Friday or Saturday? or which day of the week? Well, I thank God I was able to do justice to that. That was then. But I also still bring it. Which day did Jesus die? But why was it supposed to be 3 days? You know, last year, we began answering the question on what can I do answer last year? But what happened when he died? It's been for a while. What happened when he died? What did he do in hell? Was he just sleeping and he was dead? Or what was he doing when he died? We'll answer that, right? We saw that he was talking. He was doing stuff. Now, we also asked a question last year. Why did he live 33 years? Right? Somebody came down with that question after GPLR. He brought it up, and I think it's an intelligent question. If Jesus hadn't died at age 33, he would have died at age 83. You say, well, how are you so sure? Because it's scripture. If he had missed it then, he would have another 50 years. So he didn't miss opportunity. Glory to God. Amen. So we're going to answer, why 3 days? If you like, go and be ramping up scripture. There is lots of people that will go and say, why don't you know the mystery behind 3 days? Just calm down, I will teach you. It's just a matter of wish. Amen. I will teach you. So don't be too curious. Curiosity is a key to the car. Amen. Okay, you hear me? Just a parable. I will teach you. Hosea. So you can see 3 days. Right? And what happened on the 3rd day? What happened on the 3rd day? On the 3rd day, he will raise us up. Did you hear that? So the rising of the third day is according to Moses, according to scripture. Do you see that? Amen. Verse 3, let's read verse 3 together. I want to go. No, if we follow on to know the Lord. Come on, let's read. Verse 3 again, want to go. Going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. He shall come to us as the rain. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So, on earth. So, the rain is for restoration. So restoration, he said, after 2 days it shall revive us. It's for revival. After 2 days it shall revive us. The third day you raise up again, restoration. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So the rain is for restoration, for revival, for refreshing. Refreshing. Joel 2. Back to Joel. Joel 2. Remember, I told you guys during convention, I said Peter used this starting from Joel. Joel was a pilot text. He didn't say Joel. He used Joel as a pilot text to other texts. Amen. A starting off point. Started off from, and then he went to other texts. Amen. Look at Joel 2, verse 23. It says, be glad then. First of all, look at, let's see verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Tell all the inhabitants of the land. I mean, let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. So, what day is he talking about? The day of the. I said that to Ross. I've been saying this to Ross for convention for about 3 years. Right? That Joel is talking, he's dealing with the day of the Lord. That is the land. Amen. The day of the Lord, the land, right? The Spirit, thank you. Hallelujah. Verse 23. They be glad then, ye children of Zion. They be glad then, ye children of Zion. And rejoice in the Lord, your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately. He has given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. Hallelujah. The former and the latter rain in the first month. That is the land part. Hallelujah. He has given you the former rain moderately. I told you that word moderately there. Oh, sorry. The word moderately there is where you have the word righteously. Right? Now he said, he has given you the former and the latter rain to come in the first month. So we said, he was dealing with the Lord's day. Right? And the Lord's day is Moses' narrative. Genesis 2. Where we also read rain in. Genesis 2, the Lord's day. Hallelujah. It's also the land narrative. As we've been reading before now. Hallelujah. Both were here in the first month. First month too is land narrative. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's see the result of this rain. In verse 24. Say, for the floor and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the year. What is? I will restore to you the year that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillars, and the palmerworm, and I made my great army which I sent amongst you. Hallelujah. So that means the rain will bring forth increase, will bring forth harvest, and it will be rain for refreshing and revival, restoration. Amen. Rain for refreshing, for revival, for restoration. Hallelujah. We receive this ring. Hallelujah. In our church, we receive this ring in the year of supernatural rain. We have this over and over and above. You know, there will be strong emphasis on the supernatural in this year. There will be strong emphasis. But I was reading my pastor post yesterday, and he said, you guys said, yes, this is the word. There will be strong emphasis this year on the supernatural. Because it's a year of God's rain, supernatural rain. Hallelujah. Rain of harvest, of increase, refreshment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, it's also a rain of miracles. So miracles, Exodus 16. Miracles. Supernatural rain. Hallelujah. Exodus 16. It says, verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel. Oh, sorry. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. I will rain bread. That's the rain bread, miraculously. Hallelujah. Miracles. Hallelujah. I will rain bread from heaven. Miracle. Hallelujah. Exodus 9. Go back a bit. 9 verse 3. Rain bread. Oh, glory to God. Verse 3. Jesus in Egypt. Look at what happened. Look at what rain. In chapter 9 verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy captive. Who is in that field? Verse 23. It says, and Moses set forth his rod towards heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained the hail upon the land of Egypt. Rain. Miracles happen in Egypt. Amen. Amen. For the Egyptians, it was for their judgment. But there was miracle. Hallelujah. So that means is the year supernatural rain, the rain for harvest, rain for refreshing, rain for revival, restoration, rains of miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rains of miracles. So I'm setting your mind for what to expect in the year. Am I hearing me? So we'll begin to look at from next 2 weeks, right? How to use opportunities in the year. Your mind should be set on this. We started that during the end of year service, so we'll continue. Your mind should be set on this. Glory to God. Set on what? What God is doing in the air. Supernatural rain. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So have you. So, the year for us is a year of massive harvest, therefore. Is that it? The year for us is a year of massive harvest. Year of refreshing, revival, year of the miraculous, hallelujah, supernatural happenings everywhere. That is what the year is for us. Massive harvest, refreshing, revival, hallelujah, the year of mighty miracles, and supernatural happenings everywhere. Our lives, we are experiencing the supernatural every day in the year 2025. Hallelujah. So let's see how the New Testament writers will talk about this as we begin to close. Let's see how the New Testament writers will speak about this. Amen. Before we get there, let's see Isaiah. Isaiah 28. Let's see it there. This is 12. Amen. This is gonna. Amen. Verse 12. He says, so who he said,
This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear.
Correct. Did you see that? It talks about refreshing. It says,
well, remember we say it's a rain of refreshing.
Right?
Right?
It's a rain of refreshing. So this is the rest. Where would he ever cause the weary to rest? And this is the refreshing. Yet you will not hear. So he calls the rest. He calls his rest.
Which is in his day. Remember the rest. His day is when you have rest.
Right?
That is the word there, menuka. Menuka. His rest.
Hallelujah. Menuka.
His abode. Now he calls that rest refreshing.
Hallelujah.
And that rest is the new birth. So therefore the new birth is refreshing.
I can put it this way. Since the rain brings refreshing, we can say the new birth is rain.
Hallelujah.
So when a man does get born again, he has received God's rain.
Hope you're following me. When a man gets born again, what does he receive?
God's rain. Is that the early or the latter rain?
Is that early?
Is that early?
Thank you.
We'll see all this next week. But I'm giving you background to what we'll look at next week.
Hallelujah.
So the new birth is God's rain.
Acts 3 verse 19. Refreshing.
Acts 3:19.
Let's see this. It says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God.
It says, so, it says, what will come?
The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God.
It says, repent therefore, and be converted, that your sins being blotted out, that was made there, it was being blotted out.
When the time, so that's the role we see in the times of refreshing is things are blotted out.
Hallelujah.
Says when the times of refreshing now shall come from the presence of the Lord.
So where does the time of refreshing come?
Say from the presence of the Lord.
Now let's look at our presence. The word presence is the Greek word prosopon.
Prosopon.
P-R-O-S-O-P-O-N. Prosopon.
Is this for an appearance?
For an appearance.
For an appearance.
I'll give you references now. Matthew 6:16-17.
Matthew 6:16-17.
Matthew 16:3.
Matthew 17:2.
Matthew 17:6.
Matthew 18:10.
6:16-17.
Matthew 16:3.
Matthew 17:2.
Matthew 17:6.
Matthew 18:10.
Is this for a faith?
A physical faith?
Matthew 11:10, Matthew 26:39.
Now, is used by Peter in Acts 2:28 for the resurrection of Jesus.
In 27, say, because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither would I suffer thy only one to seek corruption.
And it's talking about the resurrection of Jesus.
He now says in 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life.
Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance.
That was there with thy prosopon.
With thy, hope that with me.
So it's used for the resurrection. The resurrection is called an appearance.
The resurrection is called Christ's appearance from the dead.
Amen.
Amen.
So the resurrection is the appearance.
Amen.
Therefore, when it says, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Now the times of refreshing will come from the resurrection.
Hallelujah. And what's the resurrection fast?
The spirit inside.
Hallelujah.
So times of refreshing comes from where?
The resurrection.
That means we're going to see all this.
Hallelujah.
Comes from the resurrection.
Now that word refreshing is the word anaptosis.
A-N-A-P-S-U-S-I-S. is used for revival. Revival. Times of revival.
Hallelujah.
Times of revival.
Who closes it?
Times of revival will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of revival. The word times there, so you have the word kairos. Kairos. Kairos is used for opportunity. Season. So when it says time of refreshing, it is seasons of refreshing. Seasons of times of refreshing. Seasons, opportunity. So that means these refreshings will take place with opportunities. Amen. Opportunities. Glory to God. Remember how to use opportunities. Amen. Opportunities of refreshing will come from the resurrection. Resurrection exists in his day. Is there? It will come from there. No wonder Peter was able to recognize that opportunity when he gathered. That experience they had was rain. Hallelujah. Acts 2. That was rain. So he saw the opportunity. And he said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as they suppose. Seeing that for the first hour. I mean, seeing that for the third hour of the day. Hallelujah. But this is that what he's talking about, the prophet Joel. He said, it shall come to pass in the last day, says the Lord. How proud of my spirit, upon the prophet. When he was done, 3,000 men were saved. So that rain in Acts 2:1 gave birth to 3,000 men. Is that rain? So rain that gives birth to rain. Hallelujah. Opportunity. He saw the opportunity. In Acts 2:1, they took advantage of opportunity. Opportunity to have Holy Ghost. Opportunity to be refreshed. These were men that were inside. When Jesus died, for 3 days they were hiding. But now, hallelujah, when times of revival came, they were bold. Hallelujah. Amen. In Acts 4, when they threatened them, they went to their company. When they had prayed, the place where they were shaking and filled with the Holy Ghost. They had refreshing. They were refreshed. Hallelujah. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. To the point that those guys said, but you know the guys that were threatening not to preach, look at them in the synagogue. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing. For God from the presence of God. Hallelujah. That means I also trust how to make it happen. We'll see all that next week. How to have refreshing. How can I have refreshing? How can I get refreshing? You know, you must learn how to have refreshing so that you won't be in boredom and then you begin to misbehave. Okay, I will need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, time is of refreshing. Opportunity. Remember, we say the kairos will be found in the chronos. The chronos is an order of time. It's the word time. Chronos is an order of time. We have 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. We have January, February, March. Those are orders of time. Now we say the kairos, which are opportunities, will be found in the chronos. That means in 2025, what are we having? We're having times of refreshing. We're having times of revival. We're having times of harvest. We're having times of miracles. Hallelujah. We're having supernatural happenings. Times of supernatural happenings. Hallelujah. It didn't say time of refreshing. It said times of refreshing. Time. Times of refreshing means it will happen every time. Opportunities will be there. All the time. So that means in the year we'll have refreshings upon refreshings. Rains upon rains. Rains upon rains. Rains upon rains. Hallelujah. Many of us just sitting at home and doing something there, you know. No, God. You're not only not, but you are having tons of refreshing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, you just sit in that land, you just stand up in joy. Stand up in joy. You're not mad, no. You're having times of refreshing. Hallelujah, times of refreshing. You know, we'll know how to seize opportunities. We'll know how to seize opportunities. Rather than pressing forward, you know, the Holy Ghost just say, have times of refreshing. Yeah! And then, I'll give tomorrow if you have procrastination. Amen? Amen? Times of refreshing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Signs of refreshing. Glory to God. Hey, Baba Gasakana Mandia. Glory to God. Signs of refreshing. I have it. It is first about the harvest. Never forget it. It's about God's will, God's harvest. Never forget it. Signs of refreshing. The rain is about God's harvest. So all the refreshing you have, you will receive, is targeted towards God's harvest. Can we bring it home to church? It's targeted towards sowing, discipling men, making workers out of members, making leaders out of workers. Signs of refreshing. Signs of refreshing. That's it. When they have the Holy Ghost within in Acts 4, they spoke the word with boldness. When they had the meeting in Acts 13, what was the result? Ministry for Paul and Barnabas. Acts 2, 3,000 were saved. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing. We also come by the laying on of hands. Acts 6, when what happened in verse 7, the word spread and the disciples multiply. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing. So that means when hands are laid, those are times of refreshing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll see all these times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. I won't have refreshing here this afternoon or this morning. Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Where you are, just thank the Lord. Sitting down, just thank the Lord. Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woo, glory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We will see those times now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We have times of refreshing. Oh, we have times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Woo, glory. Woo, glory. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, 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 nana haskala mashatala mandia.
There's much yieldedness. Yeah, there's much yieldedness in and around
where your voice and your word goes. There's much yieldedness to the word of God being spoken by you
in the coming days.
Yeah, words that would shine light in darkness. Words that will stir men's heart for the work. Yeah, there's much yieldedness to God's word spoken through you. I've got facts carried out through you. Yeah, much yieldedness. Yes, much yieldedness. And there is that also call to stir it up. To stir up that which has been committed to you. To stir up that which has been given to you. By the laying on of hands. That which has been given to you, the gift of God that you've received. Yeah, there's a call to stirring it up. To stir it up much more in the coming days. Much more in the coming days. Stirring it up. That is, you pay attention to it. And then, you make a practice of them. Make a practice of the things of the Spirit. Make a practice of the things of the soul. Make a practice of it. Yeah. Many closets are torn to Holy Ghost meetings. Many closets are torn to Holy Ghost meetings. Many times. many times of people, times where have been wasted, yet are now being restored back. Restored back as times where the things of the spirit are much more used, much more expressions, much more expressions. Those times are here and those times are now. Those times are now. Yeah, where the things of the spirit are given practice to in your closet and in your going out. In your closet and your going out. Ah, yeah. You pay attention to that. To convert those times of doing nothing. Convert it to the practice of the things of the spirit. To the practice of the things of the spirit. Yeah? When you just tear yourself up. You know, tear yourself up. And for some people, it's a call back. Yeah? It's a call back to fan into flames again. Those fires. It's a call back, you know? You know, the same instruction is calling to some as a callback. It's coming to some as a callback. A callback to things you used to do in the years before. It's a callback again. Where you go and then you fan to flame the things of God, the gift of God, and the calling of God upon your life. You know, those things that come back again. Those opportunities are coming back again. And you make use of it. Wear your clothes fast. Where your in quote as it may be, your idol time are turned to Holy Ghost time. When your idol time are turned to Holy Ghost time, where you are given much more to the practice of the things of the Spirit, speaking in tongues much more, and flowing with the things of the Spirit, rejoicing much more, laughing much more, those times, those opportunities are here again. When you lock yourself in the closet, in your room, and you just make a practice of the things of the Spirit. So you just lock yourself and make a practice of the things of the Spirit. Those days and those times are here. And there will be much yieldedness in your going forth. In your going out, men will yield to God's word spoken through you. Men will yield much more. Men, not just much more. Men who are backsliding. By you getting in contact with them, men will catch the fire for ministry. Oh, this is what is happening from the closet. This is what you are picking up from the closet. You are picking up that fire for ministry that you're picking it up and you're fanning it to flame again. And men will catch that fire. And men will catch it much more. There will be much more yieldedness to you. And God's word committed to your trust. There will be much more yieldedness to you. And God's word committed to your trust. So you pay attention to the closet. You pay attention to the inner room. Yeah, as it's been called. The inner room. The inner altar. The inner room. You pay attention to it. Oh yes. For the days ahead are days of His glory. The days ahead are days of the supernatural. Days ahead are days of revival by reflection. And we're taking a hold of them all. None of those opportunities passes us by. Thank you, Lord. Just turn to someone by your side and let's just refresh one another. Turn to someone by your side and refresh that person by the Holy Ghost.